complete your kingdom work, Lord. Lord, we commit this into your hands, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for a time of scripture reading. Please meditate on the word as I read. Today's scripture is from Mark 14, verses 43 to 52. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The man seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated. Let us welcome Elder E.T. for the word today.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for the gift of your gospel. We praise you that your word is truth, grounded in your grace and steadfast love. As we open the scriptures, quieten our hearts and minds. Set aside every distraction, burden, and anxiety that competes for our attention. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and lives willing to respond. May we see Christ more clearly, love him more deeply, and be strengthened to follow him faithfully. We commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, let me first begin by asking you a question. This is a heavy, loaded question. Imagine that today something devastating happens. Perhaps you receive news from the doctor that changes everything. Perhaps your business suddenly collapses, or you lose your job. Perhaps a loved one passes away unexpectedly, or you find yourself facing a crisis that you never saw coming. You are shocked, you are overwhelmed, your worlds fall apart, and you don't know what to do. And in that moment, you are just given one phone call. Just one phone call. Who would you call? Don't answer out loud, just think about this person, have this person in your mind. The person you trust the most, the one whom you believe would always be there for you. Do you have someone in mind already? Now, imagine that this person betrays you. They take your trust, your confidence, your vulnerabilities, and use it against you, stab you in the back. Or maybe, not betrayer. Perhaps they simply disappear. Your calls to them, unanswered. Your messages, blue tick. They ghost you. The support you were counting on never comes. And when you need them the most, you find yourself facing your darkest moment alone. Brothers and sisters, few things hurt more than betrayal and abandonment. Often it is not the suffering itself that breaks us. Yes, suffering is hard, it's painful. But sometimes when we discover that the people we thought would stand beside us all the way, when they walk away one by one, when we find ourselves suffering alone, perhaps that is more devastating. And this is precisely where we find Jesus in Mark chapter 14. Just moments earlier, before this passage, Jesus had been praying in deep anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. The cross is now drawing near. The hour he has spoken about throughout the entirety of the Gospels has finally arrived. And as the shadow of the cross falls upon Jesus, one by one, every human support around him disappears. One disciple betrays him. The rest desert him. And one final one flees into the darkness. What begins with a kiss ends with Jesus standing utterly alone. Yet the focus of this passage is not ultimately about the failure of the disciples. It is the faithfulness of Jesus in the face of their failure. My topic today is betrayal and abandonment. We will see that even though Jesus was betrayed, deserted, and fled from, he still understands. Secondly, we are also more like these disciples than we think. And thirdly, everyone fled, but Jesus walked toward the cross. And as we walk through this passage, we'll discover that the one who was betrayed and abandoned is also the one to whom we can count on and we can turn to whenever we experience betrayal, abandonment, and failure in our own lives. My first point today is that even though Jesus was betrayed, deserted, and fled from, he still understands. The Gospel of Mark paints a heartbreaking picture in the Garden of Gethsemane through three successive movements. Firstly, Jesus is betrayed. Verse 44 introduces Judas with a chilling description. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. What makes this betrayal so painful is that Judas was not an outsider. He was one of the 12. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He had listened to Jesus' teaching, witnessed his miracles, ate with him, and enjoyed a place within Jesus' inner circle. Yet Judas deliberately handed Jesus over to the authorities. Chilling, isn't it? Even more shocking is the means by which he does it. He approaches Jesus with a kiss. In their culture, a kiss was an ordinary expression of affection between a disciple and his rabbi. What should have been a symbol of devotion now becomes an instrument of betrayal. Here, one man turns against Jesus. The one who should have stood with him becomes the one who delivers him into the hands of his enemies. But the pain does not stop there. In verse 50, Mark tells us, "Then everyone deserted him and fled." Everyone. Unlike Judas, the other disciples did not actively conspire against Jesus. They genuinely loved him. A few verses ago, Peter had boldly declared that he would never fall away. The others said the same too. That was just hours earlier that they had vowed their loyalty to Jesus. But when the soldiers arrive, when the danger becomes real, and when following Jesus suddenly becomes costly, their courage evaporates. At the crucial moment, every one of them abandons Christ. It is deliberately emphasized that all deserted him. Not some, not most, but all. The shepherd is struck and the sheep are scattered, just as Jesus had predicted earlier in verse 27. Now, Jesus is no longer dealing with one single betrayer. He's dealing with mass abandonment. The people who claimed they would never leave him are now nowhere to be found. Then comes a curious detail that is not found in the other Gospels. A young man attempts to follow Jesus. When the crowd seizes him, he wriggles free and leaves his garment behind and fled naked into the darkness. So he was only wearing a linen garment. So in his wriggling free or in his escape desperately, He left his clothes behind and fled naked into the darkness. At first glance, this incident seems strange and unnecessary. After all, in verse 50, we were already told that everyone fled, and that would have included this young man. So why include this story? While it is difficult to know precisely why this incident is recorded, it certainly reinforces for us the picture of Jesus being left completely alone. Even this young follower cannot remain with him. For this young follower, this young man, this is not a calm retreat. It is a desperate escape, so desperate that he leaves everything behind, even his clothes, in order to save himself. Notice the contrast that is presented. The young man is seized, Jesus is seized. The young man is stripped, Jesus is stripped. The young man escaped, but Jesus surrendered himself. The young man runs from suffering, Jesus walks into suffering. The young man lost his garment to save himself, Jesus gave his life to save others. The young man abandons everything in order to escape, Jesus surrenders everything in obedience to the Father. The Gospel of Mark does not explain why this incident is included, so we should be careful not to press the details too far. Nonetheless, this episode certainly reinforces the picture of complete abandonment. Everyone else is gone. And the point is not simply yet another disciple ran away. The point is that while everyone around Jesus collapses, Jesus remains there faithfully. He remains steadfast. And the faithlessness of his followers serve to highlight the faithfulness of Christ. One disciple betrays him. The 12 deserted him. And even this last remaining follower flees from Jesus. With each step, another layer of support for Jesus disappears until Jesus stands utterly alone. Brothers and sisters, at the start of the message, I ask you to imagine being betrayed or abandoned. But perhaps some of you seated here today, you don't have to imagine because you understand, because you have experienced betrayal and abandonment before, because you are going through betrayal and abandonment now. This passage speaks powerfully to those of you who have experienced betrayal and abandonment yourself. Some of life's deepest wounds come not from enemies, but from people we expected to stay by our side. Perhaps a friend broke your trust. Perhaps a family member abandoned you. Perhaps someone you depended upon disappeared when you needed them the most. If that is your story, remember that Jesus had walked this road before you. He knows what it is like to be betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his followers, and left to face suffering alone. Therefore, when you are wounded by others, do not turn away from Jesus. Turn toward him, because he is the one who comforts us, and he is the one who has experienced these wounds himself. He knows how you feel. My second point today is that though through Jesus being betrayed, deserted, and fled from, we are able to see more of ourselves than we think. Notice that the Gospel of Mark does not merely say that some disciples fled. He emphasizes that all fled. The focus is no longer on Judas alone. The failure has become universal. And perhaps this is where the story begins to move a little bit uncomfortably for all of us. It begins to move uncomfortably close to us. It is very easy to condemn Judas. Well, how can you do that to Jesus? Unimaginable, so extreme. But it is harder to explain the failure of all the disciples. The painful reality is that we are not only the abandoned ones, we are also the abandoners. Before we ask who has betrayed me, perhaps we should first ask, how have I responded to Christ? We saw earlier that verse 44 calls Judas the betrayer. Judas did not merely walk away from Jesus. He chose something else over Jesus. He placed his own interests, ambitions, and desires above his master. The tragedy of Judas is that he could be physically so close to Jesus, was spiritually so far from him. He listened to Jesus teach. He witnessed his miracles. He shared meals with Jesus, yet ultimately he chose his own way rather than the way of Jesus. But before we go further to condemn Judas too quickly, perhaps we should pause and consider the temptation that confronted him. While our failures are not identical to Judas's final rejection of Christ, brothers and sisters, are we not often tempted to place our own desires ahead of obedience to Jesus? Perhaps not for 30 pieces of silver, but what about pursuing success at the expense of obedience to God, choosing comfort over holiness, harboring secret sin while pretending everything is fine spiritually, or saying, "Lord, Lord," and do not do as the Lord commanded? We should be careful, yes, not to equate our failures with Judas' final rejection of Christ. Yet Judas' story does warn us how easily self-interest can crowd out devotion to Christ. Whenever we choose our desires over his will, we catch a glimpse of the same temptation that confronted Judas. Not identical to Judas, but rooted in the same issue, we place ourselves before Christ. Judas' failure warns us of the danger of choosing ourselves over Christ. But the disciples' failure reveals a different danger altogether. Verse 50 says, "Then everyone deserted him and fled." Notice that the disciples were not enemies of Jesus. They loved him. They loved him dearly. Peter loved him. James loved him. John loved him. In fact, only a few verses earlier, Peter boldly declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And Mark tells us that all the others said the same. Their promises, I believe, were sincere. Their affection for Jesus was genuine. Yet when the soldiers arrived, fear proved stronger than their commitment, and they all fled. What is striking to us is that Jesus is not surprised by their failure. Jesus wasn't shocked that they ran away. Earlier that same evening, Jesus had already told them, "You will all fall away." The gospel does not hide the weaknesses of Christ's followers. Peter's failures is recorded clearly for us, but not for us to mock him. Instead, it serves to remind us that even the sincere disciples can stumble. And perhaps that brings the story so much closer to us. We love Jesus too. We want to follow him. When we sing these worship songs, we feel so strongly for it. We sincerely desire to be faithful, and we put in our best effort. But what happens when discipleship becomes costly? What happens when speaking for Christ risks our reputation? Standing for biblical truth creates conflict. Serving others costs us time and comfort. And following Jesus affects our security and our future. Suddenly, like the disciples, we discover how fragile our own courage can be. Jesus had already thought earlier in Mark chapter 8 that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The challenge is that we often want the crown without the cross. We want the blessings of discipleship without the cross, cost of discipleship. And when following Jesus becomes difficult, we can find ourselves quietly stepping back. It is very obvious to betray Jesus. It is not so obvious to just quietly step back a little bit, to run away a little bit, fade into the periphery. It is not so obvious. The challenge is that we often want the crown without the cross. And when following Jesus becomes difficult, we can find ourselves quietly stepping back. Like the disciples, we are often confident in our devotion to Christ until that devotion begins to cost us something. Then comes the young man in verse 52. By now, we already know what happened. We are familiar with him already. When danger happened, he ran. But what makes this brief episode so powerful is not how he fled, but why he fled. He simply wanted to save himself. And if we are honest, that instinct of self-preservation still lives within us today. The instinct to protect ourselves, the instinct to avoid suffering at all costs. Yet throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus has taught the exact opposite. In Mark chapter 8, verse 35, he says, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Brothers and sisters, this young man becomes a mirror for you and for me. When obedience becomes costly, do we avoid difficult conversations? Do we keep quiet about our faith? Do we withdraw when following Christ becomes uncomfortable? And do we rationalize and justify compromise? It is not because we hate Jesus. On the contrary, we love Jesus. But because, just like this young man, we just want to protect ourselves. And every time we choose self-preservation over faithful obedience, we see a little bit of ourselves in the fleeing young man. Where can you see yourself? Perhaps it is in Judas where we put self over Christ. Perhaps it is in the disciples where we place our fears above faithfulness. Or perhaps it is in this young man where we place self-preservation over self-denial. My dear brothers and sisters, today, where do you see yourself? My third and last point today is that even though Jesus was betrayed, deserted, and fled from, yet he didn't just stay there. Yes, he didn't run away. But no, he didn't just stay there and not move. He walked toward the cross. As we come to this final section, notice something remarkable. The entire passage from Mark chapter 14, verses 43 to 52, this entire passage is full of movement. Judas moves towards the authorities. The disciples move away from Jesus. The young man runs away into the darkness. Everybody is moving away. But while everybody else is moving away from suffering, Jesus walked towards the cross. Jesus walked towards suffering. At first glance, it may look like Jesus is being overtaken by events. A crowd arrives with swords and clubs. Judas betrays him. His followers scatter. The plot against Jesus begins to unravel and unfold. And it almost seems like Jesus is passive and he's just a passive recipient of these unfortunate events. But notice what Jesus says in verses 48 to 49. Verse 49, "Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Jesus is not confused. He's not trapped. He's not trying to escape. He knows exactly what is going on. He knows exactly what is happening. The authorities think that they are carrying out their plans. Judas thinks that he is acting on his own initiative. The disciples think that everything is falling apart, but Jesus knows that God's saving purpose is being accomplished. This is not a detour or a curveball from God's plan. This is precisely God's plan. Why did Jesus not run away? He could have. If all the disciples could run away, surely one Jesus can get away too. And he even had the foreknowledge, you know. He knew Judas was coming. He knew the arrest was imminent. He knew that suffering was ahead of him, awaiting him. Yet only moments earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had prayed, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." What we see now, the situation that we see now, is the answer to this prayer. Judas chooses self. The disciples chose safety. The young man chooses to escape, but Jesus chooses obedience. This is the obedience of the Son of God. Where everyone else turned inward to save themselves, Jesus submits himself completely to the Father's will. Where Adam failed, Jesus obeyed. Where Israel failed, Jesus obeyed. Where the disciples failed, Jesus obeyed. While everyone else walks away from the cross, Jesus walks towards it. While everyone else seeks to save themselves, Jesus willingly gives himself. But it was not only obedience that kept him from moving forward. It was also love for the disciples and for us. Think about who has just abandoned him. The same gang of disciples. The Peter, the James, and the John. The rest of the disciples as well. Every one of them has failed Jesus. Yet Jesus continues towards the cross for them. He's not dying for faithful disciples, you know. At this point, there are no faithful disciples. Everybody fled. Jesus is dying for followers whose faith faltered in the moment of testing. And the story does not stop with the disciples. It reaches all the way to us. Jesus walked toward the cross for every time we chose self over obedience. Jesus walked towards the cross for every act of compromise, for every act of cowardice, for every moment we fled when obedience becomes costly. The wonder of this passage in Mark chapter 14 is not that everyone failed. We already know that sinners fail. The wonder is that even when everyone else was walking away, Jesus kept walking forward toward the cross. And that means the gospel invites us to do the very opposite of what we see in this passage. Judas ran from Jesus. The disciples ran from Jesus. The last standing young men also ran from Jesus. But because Jesus walked toward the cross for sinners, we no longer need to run away from him. Brothers and sisters, when you fail, do not hide from Christ. Do not run away from Christ. Do not pretend that everything is fine. Instead, run to Christ. The very people Jesus walked toward were the very people who had abandoned him. And that same invitation stands for us today. Remember all the movement. Everybody runs away from Jesus. Jesus stayed put, not just stayed put, but he walked towards the Christ. And he turns around to invite you and to invite me to run, not away from him, but towards him. Brothers and sisters, the story begins with a betrayer. It continues with deserters. It ends with a desperate escape. But above them all stands a Savior who walked toward the cross for betrayers, deserters, and fearful followers like you and me. At the beginning of this sermon, I ask you to think of the person you would call when everything falls apart. I hope that you manage to think of somebody. For some of you here who are married or have another half, it is probably, hopefully, your other half. For those of you who, like me, are single, maybe it is your parent. Or maybe it is a very good friend, your BFF. Or maybe it is your DGL, your church leaders. The reality is that even the best people in our lives may fail us one day. Friends may falter. Our family have moments of weaknesses as well. Our church leaders may even fail us at times. Even our own faithfulness may not last the test of costly discipleship. But Jesus will never fail us. When you are betrayed, remember Jesus understands. When you are abandoned, remember Jesus remains. When you discover your own failures, remember to run to Jesus. because he went to the cross for betrayers and for deserters. Others may betray us. Others may abandon us. We may even fail Christ ourselves, but Jesus never walks away so that we can run to him. My dear brothers and sisters, my topic for today is betrayer and abandonment. I wish very much to hype this up and to go very high with this message, but how to? I was given this topic. I know it is a heavy topic. I cannot not be heavy about this topic because that was how heavy it was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus faced his plight. But I would like to bring some hope for all of us in the midst of this heaviness because Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us immense hope. Sometimes you may find yourself backing away, falling away a little bit. A little bit initially, a little bit more later on. But brothers and sisters of Agape, as a church family, shall we hold hands together so that if somebody falters a little bit, we can pull them back? Shall we run this race towards Christ together? When somebody is suffering, is abandoned, is betrayed, or is going through a dark time in life and unintentionally falls back a little, shall we hold on to them and 手牵手一起走? We run to Jesus together as a church family. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you in good times, in bad times, in times of grief, let us hold on to Jesus together because he understands. He has experienced every suffering before us. And I pray that as we run towards Christ together, we can experience 2x5y. We can experience overcoming faith and multiplication of life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the reminder that when everyone else left, Jesus remained faithful. We confess that we are more often like Judas, the disciples, and the fleeing young men than we care to admit. Too many times we choose our own way over yours. We choose fear over faith, and we choose comfort over obedience. But Father, we thank you that our hope rests not in our faithfulness to you, but in Christ's faithfulness to us. We thank you that Jesus did not turn away from the cross, did not run away from the cross even when he was betrayed, deserted, and abandoned, but he remained steadfast to save sinners like us. We pray for those carrying wounds of betrayal and abandonment. May you remind us that we are not alone and that Jesus understands our pain. May you draw near to us and strengthen us with your presence when we are tempted to compromise, when we are tempted to desert you, or when we are tempted to flee when obedience becomes costly. May you help us to fix our eyes on Christ and to follow him faithfully. And may we leave today encouraged by your love, humbled by your grace, and confident that you will never leave us nor forsake us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.